Hey, Scott O. I just want to thank you for this sweet Go See Talk t-shirt, man. When I put it on, women just start coming at me from all directions.
Well, no problem, dude.
Oh, yeah, and check this out. I had this rash in my chest for like 3 months, right? The first time I wore this Go See Talk t-shirt for the day, I took it off before bed and the rash was gone.
Really?
Yeah, dude. I also worked at a job interview I had last week, and not only did I get the job, but the boss liked it so much, he made me his partner.
Huh?
Yeah, and I'm now a millionaire because of your Ghostly Talk t-shirts.
Well, you know, we not only have new t-shirts for 2007, but Ghostly Talk also has a brand new line of bumper stickers and 1¼-inch buttons.
You're kidding!
No, sir. You can check them out and also find out how to order them at ghostlytalk.com.
I must go and order all of them now!
Whoa, hold on. Save some for the rest of the listeners. As you can see, Ghostly Talk swag is going fast, so head on over to ghostlytalk.com and check it out. T-shirts, bumper stickers, and 1¼-inch buttons, all for a very cheap price. Order yours today.
What are we made of? Why do I get sick? How can I live a more balanced and whole life? These are just a few of the questions explored each week by naturopath, medical intuitive, and clairvoyant Dr. Rita Louise on Just Energy Radio. Explore your possibilities every Friday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Join us at JustEnergyRadio.com.
Presents Deconstructing Fireflies, a post-apocalyptic short story by the Ghostman and Demon Hunter shows Nathan Schoonover and Christy Peterson. Bees are real, birds are not. Deer heads rot on rooftops under the blazing sun. Chickens explode, and one stricken little boy searches in unlikely places for the souls of the mechanical animals his father creates. This unsettling tale is now available in the speculative fiction anthology Beacons of Tomorrow, second collection. Buy your copy at TyrannosaurusPress.com, Amazon.com, Tower.com, and most online book retailers now. Beacons of Tomorrow, second collection. It's a vision of the future so grotesque, you won't be able to look away.
Thank you. Hanky Panky.
You will take me out of the straitjacket
nope.
when the show's over,
nope.
right? No, right to the insane asylum?
Yep. That's where
it's,
you belong.
It's been moving fast.
Evidently, when I put my arms on the table, it moves the table,
well, okay.
and I get in trouble.
Okay, let's test it. Ready?
Let's explain this. I'm not touching the thing, all right? I'm doing this because I knew this
is
was going to make
that?
Noise. Yeah, that's exactly
is that the
it
noise?
That's
okay,
the noise.
I'm
it's
sorry.
Been... So people in the chat room are like, what's that noise? That's really weird. Dude.
It's
I'm like,
dumb.
It's a ghost. Trust us. We've been investigating ghosts for a better part of 10 years.
We're experts.
It's a ghost.
We're experts. We know everything there is to know.
Speaking of ghosts, we're broadcasting live from the Strait Farmhouse in Garden City, Michigan. It's also the home of the Garden City Historical Museum.
Beautiful place here. We're in the dining room. And this is like, again, we're going to have pictures for you guys to check out and stuff like that, just so you can see the wonderful setting we were in to do this show. It's really
right, and the thing about the Garden City Historical Museum and the Strait Farmhouse is that it's, you know, it's funded by, completely by volunteers and donations and things
yeah,
like
yeah.
that. It's not
well,
like...
The majority of the money this weekend that people paid to come to the...
Goes to the restoration and maintenance of this beautiful historic landmark,
mm-hmm.
and that is really, really
huge.
Important.
Selfless acts.
Exactly. And, of course, all the speakers this weekend have been fantastic. And here's one that
we
didn't
really
get
cool
to hear.
We were really cool until we had them on the show.
We didn't get to hear because we didn't, you know, we were doing the show. But
yeah.
But we do know that Lon...
Sorry.
We do know that Lon Keane saw his first ghost, a full apparition of his grandfather, Otto, at the age of 3. He has been fascinated by haunted house stories since childhood, much like Scott L. And Lon joined the Michigan Ghost Watchers in 2004 and has been an active investigator with the group. He travels frequently, as do we, and has done a number of independent investigations as well. Of course, he represents the Michigan Ghost Watchers, so that's www.ghostwatchers.org. And Lon Keane, welcome to Ghostly Talk.
Thank you.
You talked about genealogy, I think was what it said on the schedule. So, because we didn't hear it, quick. Summary.
Yeah. Thing of it is genealogy look. Is my version of it.
Oh, and close to the mic.
Close to the mic. Sorry about that.
Yeah, I can help you with that, too. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he can turn that off.
Genealogy is my version of his ghost hunting on paper. Finding out who we're talking to, finding a little bit more about the history behind the ghosts, and relationships between parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles. If you're talking to one person, there might be another person in the room, too.
Yeah.
The more you know about them, the more it seems like they're going to answer you back.
Oh, okay. Very interesting. And that's true. I mean, I can see where if you're a ghost and you're floating around, and even if somebody calls you by name, it might get your attention.
Mm-hmm.
But are you interested in talking to them right now or not? I don't know, unless maybe that person asks something about your grandparents.
Exactly.
Or your parents, or, you know, something,
mm-hmm.
you know, something to draw you into a conversation.
Yeah.
And then suddenly, boom, EVP, it's EVP all night.
Exactly.
I mean, that would totally rock. So I completely understand.
EVP levels have gone up quite a bit since I started doing this, too.
Well, it's just familiarity, what you're doing. I mean,
mm-hmm.
that's all it is. You know, and Jeannie, when I did see this, I was really interested in hearing about this as far as seeing how this related to the paranormal. And it's nice to finally learn.
There you go.
Again, we didn't get to see your presentation. So we're in here working and doing the show. And you're part of the Michigan Ghost Watchers.
Correct.
How long have you been a part of the Michigan Ghost Watchers?
For about 4 years now.
About 4 years
mm-hmm.
now.
I read that.
I think it says it in his bio.
It
does sound familiar, so.
He doesn't listen to me.
It's right here in your show notes.
I copy and paste that crap. I don't take any time with that.
You also
be prepared.
You also do.
Oh, I don't want to hear this crap from you.
You should be prepared.
Oh, this is kind of what the...
Yeah.
Oh, now I got the reference.
I'm
going to
start unplugging mics.
Oh,
right
this
here.
Is awesome. You guys...
Hold on, you walked into a bit of fire.
Much inside jokage going on. You also talk about site research and how important it is to get to know the history and the, you know, the what about the site that you're going to go investigate?
Sure.
Did you do any research on the Strait Farmhouse? Because I only got to speak with the proprietor guy here.
The first couple times we were here, we didn't do any research on it. After we started getting some activity, looking at the census, finding out who the, apparently Ralph, one of the Masseurs here, is a 14-year-old boy. The census also lists his parents on there as well. Found out where the cemetery they're buried is about 4 miles away from here.
Oh, wow.
Got to visit that as well. In fact, when I was there last time we did an investigation, I invited his spirit to come visit us. And we did get some activity here.
Oh, that is fantastic. So not only that, but it gives results.
Mm-hmm.
which is amazing. And but what about the Strait Farmhouse? I want to know, like, it. You know, I didn't know exactly when it was built or whatever. You know, like, I just know vaguely 1800s ish, it looks. And so obviously I'm not the expert, but why would this place be haunted? Why is it important to Garden City?
This place is important to Garden City as both a historical museum, and the building itself is actually, the architecture on it is typical farmhouse from the mid-1800s. We've had people that have smelled manure out back, even, you know, several dozens of years after it stopped being a farm. Not only spirits.
The neighbors aren't happy about
but
that.
Probably not so much, but not only the spirits of the family here, but also the artifacts that are brought in, the antiques, can bring spirits as well.
That's true.
There is a room upstairs that has a mourning wreath in it, a hair brooch, and we feel there's a spirit attached to that as well that doesn't like it being on a wall. Anytime it's on a wall, it gets knocked off.
Oh, wow. How interesting.
Is there anything attached to that doll in the corner?
Yeah, that doll freaks me out as well every time I'm
creepy.
Here. Yep.
That's all I can see. She has
she's
no
even creepier in the dark,
the
too,
hand.
When you're walking through here and kind of snap a picture.
It really looks like she's going to shoot poison darts out that one hand, just like in...
Austin Powers.
Austin Powers, yes.
I had to ask because I've been staring at her for...
Yeah, she stares back at you quite a bit, too.
Hours now.
But the reason I keep hounding about the Strait Farmhouse is because it's obviously been the host of the Michigan Paranormal Conference 2008, the host property. They've been fantastic to us, letting us, you know, invade for a little while, and plus it has the added bonus of, you know, having a haunt. And so I mean, this is just like an ideal venue, and that's why I was interested in learning more about it, because it played such a pivotal role in this particular conference, which I found to be a fantastic conference. Speaking of which, the conference, what did you think of it? I know it's wrapping up in the main room, which means they're tearing all the stuff down. Our table's still up, but they're tearing all the stuff
they're
down.
They're probably tearing that down, too.
Oh, good.
I
would. Because I don't want to. And, I'm just wondering what... you know, it's wrapping up. What were your overall impressions? Was it worth all the work? Did you meet new friends?
Definitely worth all the work. I got to see the real important things, watching the patrons that came, talking to each other, getting to know each other, trading information. You know, they're going to keep in contact after being here, too. So this is sharing of ideas is the most important thing here, too. Sure, it's great to do the presentations, but learning from them as well is of utmost importance.
I'm reading here too. I mean, we're the master of the segue here, so
yeah, it's non-existent.
I'm going to take a 90-degree turn here. I was just actually reading. You know, some of the I was being prepared.
He was reading his show notes.
I was reading my show notes.
I should read.
And one of the things, one of the things that you noted here was that your great grandmother was a spiritualist minister in Indiana in the late 1800s,
right.
And your ninth great grandfather,
great nine times.
Okay, yeah, you put here. I think it's easier. Was in one of the 19 people hanged during the Salem witch trials,
correct,
in 1692.
Mm-hmm.
That's a hell of a feather to put in your cap.
It's also a hell of a thing to find on a screen when you're doing your family research. The name pops up. You see 1692.
Uh huh.
Then you see September 22nd, and you see the word executed next to it, and you're saying, what the hell's going on here?
Yeah.
And then you finally realize that where he was executed was Salem, Massachusetts.
Oh, my God. I'm having a hard time just finding out about my great-grandparents. This is something I've been actually looking into lately, is just, you know, genealogy in my family, trying to look back a little bit. I've been talking to my grandmother about, you know, our roots and stuff like that. And there's not a lot of information out there. My grandmother and my great-grandmother actually started doing family trees and trying to figure out where went where. But to find out, get information like that, something verifiable that, okay, I had a relative from 1692. That would have been enough to just blow me away. Like, well, I got a relative that far back. That's pretty cool. But to find out that they were one of the 19 people hanged during the Salem witch trials.
I wonder if, like, DNA... if something like that actually can travel in families.
Sure.
Because obviously you have an interest in the paranormal, otherwise you wouldn't be a member
of
the machine.
Hopefully not the hanging part.
Well, yeah, no, not that part. But, I mean, somebody to be involved in such a time that paranormal, I mean, paranormal enthusiasts all know about the Salem Witch Trials, and, you know, and Salem.
What happened there? I've never heard of it.
Well, here's what happened. No, I, and of course Salem has, you know, has a place in every paranormal researcher's heart because of, you know, the witch trials.
The history, yeah.
The history. And so what's interesting is that you found a connection, mm-hmm. and it's almost like a thread mm-hmm. through the lineage.
That's your bloodline,
which is fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
Good job,
and really creepy because I don't want.
And by the way, no one can see you do this.
Oh, nobody can see that. I was making well. The Tom's got
what's
it on
class.
a thread through the lineage.
Okay.
Okay. Good job.
Up on YouTube, and there you go.
I'd be like nodding at the drive-thru. Do you want fries with that?
That would be it. Yeah, that's exactly what we're talking about. No, the...
I'm done.
We're getting
on
the show here. We're getting on the show here. See what happens?
You said a spiritualist mm-hmm. minister in Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What's interesting about that is we were just talking about Indiana and spiritualism mm-hmm. earlier because I missed half of... just as... Who was talking about spiritualism? The mystic gardener. Oh my gosh.
Ray Frazier.
Who was it?
Mystique's West.
Mm-hmm. Ray Frazier, yes. He just had gotten into the part about spiritualism, mm-hmm. right? When my phone rang, and it was all the way in the corner of the room behind the.
Oh, you were one of those people.
It was Bonnie. Well, see, it was in my jacket, uh-huh. right? It wasn't on me. If it was on me, I would have reached in and went, you know, and turned it off before. But I just didn't even think of it because I breezed in, I put my jacket down, I made a pop, I, you know, set two t-shirts on the table, and then I went away
Not
from the
Not very
table.
Well either. You would have been disappointed in his folding skills.
And then I just visited. For an hour until Ray came.
Stickers out either.
So I didn't even think about it. So I was very, very embarrassed, and I apologized to him both then and later because I was very embarrassed. And he shouldn't have had to deal with that, and that was my fault. But Bonnie had called, and but he was just starting to talk about spiritualism, which is one of my topics. That's one of my on topics. I dig the entire topic of spiritualism, and we did indeed. Bonnie and I, and our good friend Sean Burris, we went to Camp Chesterfield,
okay.
which just happens to be a little bit north of Indianapolis, Indiana, mm-hmm. and it's one of the three that I know of spiritualist camps or spiritualist enclaves or conclaves. I don't know what it would be. I'd have to look it up in the dictionary what word applies, but spiritualist camps in. Left in the country.
Okay.
I mean, there were a lot of them throughout history, but the, you know, and so we visited that, and it was very interesting. Mm-hmm. It was, there's varied opinions on it, but it,
in this room, there's varied opinions on it.
On these two mics, there's varied opinions on it. But I found it to be fascinating because it's a part of history. It's a mm-hmm. part of paranormal history,
sure.
too. And because this is a whole religion based on the fact that we, or based on the belief, I'm sorry, that we can communicate with deceased, mm-hmm. you know, the deceased. So, I mean, that wow, to talk about, you know, paranormal. So, tell me about your tie with spiritualism in Indiana specifically, since mm-hmm. that's where I, the only one I visited.
That actually is my next level of research. I haven't dug too much into that yet. I'm looking forward to doing that. Keith has actually been into spiritualism for quite some time, Keith from the Michigan Ghost Watchers, mm-hmm. and went to Chesterfield as well down there, and they both, everyone down there said they recognized my grandmother's name.
Wow.
So she was apparently a well-known spiritualist minister, Sarah Crossfield.
How interesting. You know, I bought a books. Mm-hmm. Like they have just little pamphlets mm-hmm. in the little store. They have a little, it looks like it used to be maybe a kindergarten or something, but it's a it's
it
now
really
a bookstore.
It really does, but it's a great store.
It's the store, it's been, you agree, the store
yes,
was phenomenal.
The store was amazing.
Yes.
And it smelled great.
Exactly. But they have the Camp Chesterfield mm-hmm. has, over the years, people have been like, I want to write the history, or I want to write about this, or I want to write about that. And they have, over the years, developed a library of self-published mm-hmm. little booklets about, you know, topics related to that particular spiritualism camp, or spiritualist camp, which was fascinating because, it, you know, at some point in time, somebody decided, hey, I need to write this down. Well, that's fantastic because it's now preserved, sure. You know, and you can buy it for like a dollar or $1.50. So for $1 or $1.50, I bought several of these things, and some of them have photos that from private collections that you would never have been able to see.
Exactly.
Some of them have stories that unless you like went down there and lived for years, would never hear. So that's the kind of thing that you go down there, you can pick up some of these little books in history and read and who knows, your grandmother's name may even appear.
Exactly.
I mean, because, they lived down there, or they, some of them live there during the summer and nicer months and then go away in the winter, and some of them live there year-round, because as a spiritualist camp, that's just how it works.
Right. But there's a lot of information on the internet to find, but there's nothing that beats an in-person search to touch the actual bound volumes and records and see the old writing in them.
It's a fascinating place to me. Have you been there yet?
Not yet.
It's not far.
Mm-hmm.
You want to go?
I want to go.
All right. Let's go right
now. Let's go. Pack it up.
Because she's not going to go with me again for some reason.
Let me know. I'll be there.
Lon, you gave us a couple EVPs here to listen to. Also, some of the research you've been doing. Mm-hmm. I threw them on the laptop here, and I'm hoping they're going to work.
Okay.
You want to check them out?
Sure.
All right, let's check them out. The first one, I'm just saying, I just see goose.
That was actually recorded in the farmhouse. It was on the second floor.
Uh-huh.
I had a video camera going in the room with the dress that kind of creeps everybody out up there.
Uh-huh.
And we all came down for a break and left the camera running up there. Nothing appeared on the video, but we heard on the recording, sounds like someone with possibly a Scottish or British accent, saying we caught a big goose up the road.
Okay, let's give this a little. I don't even know how loud this is going to be, so guys, hold on to your headphones. Here we go.
Did you have a family living here?
Sorry, that was the other one. I have no control over. This is a.
Oh, it just automatically went to.
Yeah, it just automatically played.
So we got to hear them all.
No. We'll play the goose one again. But I did hear.
Yes, I went to hear the goose one. I did hear it.
We'll play it again. I'm going to crank it up a little louder here, and I'll try to stop it too. Let's play the goose.
Did you have a family?
I told you to stop. And this
technology is wonderful.
Junk. You hear this? It sounds like you actually filtered it a little bit. I hear
a little bit, yep.
Thing to get the noise out. Let's give it a listen again. You hear the, what was it? The sentence again?
We caught a big goose up the road.
I want to hear it again. It's just fun to push the play button over and over again. Sounds like a young guy.
Mm-hmm.
Really excited about his goose game.
Exactly. The funny thing is, outside this room, there's a picture of the farmhouse with geese on the front lawn.
Ah! Ooh.
Well, did...
wow, did you guys practice that right, before
Halloween
the show?
Here. Let's do it. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
Ooh.
Not good.
Terrible radio there, I know.
Next one. Well, that's par for the course.
Yeah, that's what we asked for.
The next one was recorded in a cemetery in Pontiac, which actually the Eastern Michigan is asylum for the insane, the old Clinton Valley Center. There's quite a few numbered graves there, just walking through, taking EVPs of that.
Yeah.
Just started asking why someone would, let you be buried under a numbered grave and not have a name.
Mm-hmm.
And sounds like a man's voice, possibly with a southern accent, saying, "Who the hell are you?
Did you have a family with you?"
Sounds like it was said right after you said, let's do it one more time.
Did you have a family with you?
Sounds like he's too happy with you.
Mom. Nope.
He didn't like that.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't like that at all. Let's give it one more listen.
Did you have a family with you?
Well, regardless, it's something anomalous on the tape there. Mm-hmm. I mean, it sounds anomalous. You hear a wispy voice. Like, it's characteristic of EVPs nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
And that was in Pontiac, you said?
In Pontiac.
Fantastic. What do you have coming up? We just got a couple minutes here before we go to break. What's going on with you?
Coming up is resting from this conference and getting back out there again, hopefully going to the Howell Opera House next month.
Yeah, you mentioned that.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we were at for the Michigan Paranormal Expo, 2 months ago?
Mm-hmm.
Was it 2 months ago?
June?
End okay.
Of June, yeah.
3 months ago. Time flies.
Summer flu, huh? Had a great time. Lisa Hoskins put that on. We talked about that. Had a really good time. And going back.
She was here.
Lisa spoke yesterday.
Yeah.
Lisa spoke yesterday. It was really good to see her again. So that'll be a good time, I know, for you.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else going on?
Gettysburg next year.
6 days.
Gettysburg.
Awesome. We haven't been there in a while. We got a couple days before we go to break. Hang tight for 1 second.
Sure.
Stay with us. We haven't done this yet.
Oh, wow.
Never done this yet. Weekly giveaway. You guys thought you guys thought I forgot, but I didn't forget. It's been sitting here in front of me the whole time I've been doing the show. And we're gonna I'm keeping it simple. I actually kind of like the way it worked last week. I wanted to have people calling in, but we're not using the phone line because we're doing this remote thing, right? But I kind of like the email thing. People emailed in last week for a book. So you know what? We're going to do it.
It worked. That's
it worked good. It was way easier not to deal with anybody on the phone because, you know, talking to people.
Yeah, we hate it.
Us talk show hosts.
Do that. Yeah. Talk show, right? Anyway, so first, limit as that. Of right now, as of right now, when you hear this live or, you know, whatever, somebody's going to get it live. I mean, it's going to, if you're listening live, you're going to get this. So first person to email in, ScottL@ghostlytalk.com, S-C-O-T-T-L @ghostlytalk.com, gets a copy of Orbs or Dust. We have another copy of Orbs or Dust by Mr. Kenny Biddle. I'm also going to give you a guide to paranormal investigation by Kenny Biddle. Also, he gave us one copy of this guy. So I'm going to.
I want a photocopy of that before you give it away.
I've got a really cool picture of Kenny and his team on the back too. Yeah. Goofy, good friend of ours who is really sharp, knows his stuff.
Orbs or Dust is a book that is actually really, really critically acclaimed.
Great
book. I mean,
self-produced too. He does all these books on his own. If you email first person to email in, time-stamped email, you get both these books. We'll work out the details after that. In the meantime, we're going to go to break. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
And I'm Doug.
And I'm Bonnie.
And I'm going to try to get this break thing right. Sorry, guys. I'm not as quick on the punch as I am usually in the studio. I think we got it now. We're going to break.
Would you like to listen to Ghostly Talk live on your cell phone? Perhaps you have a comment for us or our guests. All you have to do is dial 605-475-8590. When asked for the conference code, dial 555-1081, followed by the pound sign.
To go bump in the night. Night Watchers at nightwatchers.info. Whether you're an amateur or a professional paranormal investigator, the Night Watchers want you to investigate some of the country's most haunted places. The Night Watchers want you. Already in a group? Perfect. Groups are welcome. Join today at nightwatchers.info. Night Watchers at nightwatchers.info. The future of paranormal investigation.
Shadow governments, strange rituals, new world
shadow
order,
governments, strange
buried treasures,
new
planetary mind control, military
Out there.
It's a strange world.
Visit outthereradio.net for more information.
I'm
Stuff that you grew up with as a kid, and we show them every single month here in the Detroit area. But guess what, boys and girls, it's coming to you soon via the internet. To find out more, visit www.nightmarecinema.com. That's S-I-N-E-M-A. It's Wolfman Mac. Scare you later, babies.
Ghostly talk.
I don't know what that was. I don't care. Whatever.
Was it dead air? We can chop dead air out.
Dead air never sounded so good.
Oh, thank you, Bob.
Something happened.
Something?
I must have been a...
Something went horribly amiss.
It was my mistake.
Did Scott just admit to a mistake?
We are so chopping that out. That's going to go out on the anniversary reel. We are resurrecting the anniversary reel.
It was something. It was something. It must have been something when I was producing the show this week.
That's okay.
I must have missed something. And I put a hole in the audio and... It scared the hell out of me, too. I'm like, no! And, 2.5 hours, everything's been pretty good. But sorry about that, guys. No, we're back
well,
here.
Well, we are in a haunted location, you know.
Yeah, something could have just messed up our audio.
So maybe it wasn't your fault. We don't know.
Maybe it was Ralph.
Maybe Ralph got in there.
He didn't like
talking.
That tune.
Yeah,
Ralph messed us up. So, yeah, I'm sorry. I'll fix that later. I don't know what happened. Doug, what's going on?
Well, okay. So we got to talk to, let me go through the list. We got to talk to Bill Konkoleski of Michigan Mutual UFO Network.
Yeah.
We got to talk to Christopher Bailey of Grimstone. We got to talk to Keith Norton of VoicesBeyond.net and a member of Michigan Ghost Watchers.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to talk to Bishop Greg Haggart. And we got to talk to Lon Keen, of course, also of Michigan Ghost Watchers. Well, now, and the thing is, there's this Michigan Ghost Watchers theme going on tonight. That's because we're broadcasting live from the Strait Farmhouse in Garden City, Michigan, which is also the home of the Garden City Historical Museum. It's a beautiful property, a historical property, and one that relies completely on the community for its maintenance and its to maintain the property. And it's just like any other thing. It's got they have bills. They also have to pay for the property and the house and the and then the electricity that we're using. So it completely relies on the community for donations and for buying the little gizmos in the little shop and it's a piece of history. It is something that they're very fortunate that they have the large like conference room that we were in and things like that, because we were able to you, Cindy, were able to put together a phenomenal conference. And use such a historical and meaningful place to the community here in Southeast Michigan, to Garden City. And so what we have now is we've got the Mistress of Ceremonies. We have Cindy Blake, who is, of course, you are the founder of Ghostwatchers.org, right? Of
yes,
the
Michigan
Ghost Watchers group.
And you've been around for a long time. We've talked about you since the old days. I mean, you've come up on this show, and you've been on this show. Mm-hmm. Doug and I used to talk about you way back. If you listened to the old archives, you'd come up as far as Michigan Ghost Hunters. So,
wow, when we were like 1 and 2 hours.
Yeah, when we were like
we
a very
old
format. So, we consider you old school, and that's where the respect comes.
Thank you.
And you're a good friend of ours, too.
And you've been doing incredible work. And you had put on a couple of things many years ago, once you had a whole bunch of people over to the house.
Yep.
And then you
Which
had...
Which I thought you were crazy for doing.
Yeah.
So did my husband.
And then you had a conference before. And then this one, though, it seems now, and I'm not trying to disparage the other attempts, but it seems like you have really got the knack. I don't know what it is, but you really, there was a magical touch on this particular conference. It just really came together. I know it's because of you. It's because of Michigan Ghost Watchers, and it's because of your team.
It's because of my team and because of my guests, including you. Because everyone who came and attended and every one of the speakers and my phenomenal team, everyone just, it clicked. I think everyone's goals were the same. Let's get together. Let's communicate. Let's have a good time, and let's share. And I think that's what happened. It's what I hoped would happen, and I'm really happy. I'm really happy with it. It was a small event on the big scale, but we got a chance to talk with each other. Everybody had a chance to talk with anybody they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the major goals of doing this.
Well, and I'm glad you didn't go out and rent, you know, an auditorium or... You know,
those are cool, too.
They're fun.
They are.
They're fun. They have their place because you, mm-hmm. you can get, you know, you can get big, you know, huge names. You can get the stories, the big multimedia presentations. It has its place. It really does. But this was the physical place here. It's a historical home. I mean,
yes,
it is a farmhouse, so it's a large house. I mean, because it was built for a working family, a working farm.
It was a farm.
These were a husband, wife, probably a couple generations of the family, and kids, and they were all going to go out and work the farm. So this was a large house. Yes,
it is.
But it's not an auditorium. It's not a hotel conference center. It's limited. So you couldn't have the 80,000 seat Silver Dome or something like that. and even then, would it have clicked like this conference? I don't know. I think the magic did happen here, though.
Well, thank you. I'm very, very grateful to everyone involved, every single person, because like I said, it just seemed to click. We had no problems. We had no one who was discouraged. Everybody had a smile, and everybody felt totally comfortable to speak about what they wanted to speak about.
Yeah. And people were frank this weekend.
I
know we were.
Oh, yeah.
But, no.
Everybody was.
Bonnie.
Well, Chris Bailey was here earlier.
Frank may be speaking right now. We don't know.
Chris Bailey was on here earlier. We were talking, and Chris was, obviously, I value Chris Bailey's opinion on a lot of things.
Me too.
When it comes to paranormal law and it comes to photography and a lot of things, I go to Chris Bailey because he usually has the best answer. I trust him implicitly. And he, Chris is, he's a good guy and he knows his stuff, but even he was raving. And he's kind of, Chris is kind of a laid-back dude.
He's very laid-back and usually pretty quiet.
Yeah, watches it and he's like that. He's a very cool guy. So it makes him. And he was like, I'm very inspired now. After coming this weekend, he's like, I'm leaving here so inspired, and I can't wait for 2009 to really start pushing forward with Grimstone.
He says he's got ideas. He says I have like 20 ideas to go start working on from talking to people, and that's what I hope that people can get out of conferences like this. We've had people from Chicago come to this conference. We've had people from Northern Michigan. I saw the Northern Michigan,
Ohio, Kentucky.
I mean, it blows me away that this weekend happened. I think it was meant to be. I really do.
Yeah.
Evidently.
And it's difficult because a 2-day conference is actually very difficult.
Paranormal.
Usually they'll have something on Friday night, and because people will arrive in a location on Friday, and then
they get drunk on Friday night. They just tell them what they do.
Well, that's true. And then they clobber you all day Saturday with all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, then you gotta be conscious all day on Saturday, which sucks.
Difficult. And then Sunday's usually tear down and go home day.
Yeah. Well, thank you for not letting us get drunk here. Yeah. I felt good all weekend. I actually went home last night and got a decent night's rest.
Wow.
Woke up fresh. Actually had a meal last night. I mean, all the right things you should do, which is usually what we don't do. We did this weekend.
It worked. It totally worked. And we got to visit with everybody. We caught up with people who we knew. We met new people that
high
we didn't know.
High school reunion here, for God's sake.
I know. My goodness. And the mystery of Marquardt Upholstery, because the... We were talking. This is funny because I didn't even mention it, but Bill Konkoleski is the director of Michigan Mutual UFO Network, and that was like
this was years ago. We were
three,
talking.
4 years ago.
It was a very long time ago. And Doug and I know we were cruising. It was the night I bought a new digital camera.
This
was longer than that ago because.
It might have been 6 years ago.
It was one of them old Sony Mavicas, right? And it was one of them that took the floppy disk, right? So this was a while ago when I was all geeked about this. We went cruising around Mount Clemens to look at cemeteries to take pictures at. And we ended up, I think that's when we saw the sign. When we were in downtown Mount Clemens, we saw the Michigan MUFON sign.
It's the little sign in Marquardt Upholstery's building. And we're like, oh, is it there? Is that where you go to report a UFO?
Yeah,
I don't know. And you went down.
Yeah. A couple days later, I was back out there. I'm like, well, it's like 10 o'clock at night. They're not going to be open right now. So I'm like, well, I'll go during business hours when I get a chance. And I went over there and beat on the door for about a half an hour. And I'm like, I finally called Doug. I'm like, well, no luck, man. I just don't know where these – I don't know. They should be here.
Maybe they're out looking for UFOs.
There might be somebody out there with a couch that needs to be fixed or something. nobody showed up. So we've wondered about this for years.
And
I've driven by there a few other times.
I have too, and I never see any activity in that.
And Bill helped us answer this question. Bill, we're like, Bill, what? And he's like, yeah, the gentleman runs. He's like 86 years old. He's very old. He's been doing this since like 1980. And he told us that he works with that guy and stuff like that. So he's around.
Yeah, he's the fellow who works or owns. I don't know, the upholstery shop is indeed an investigator for Michigan's Mutual UFO Network, and 86 years old, and he's still doing it, and taking the testimony and writing up the reports and sending them in.
He's starting to answer his door, though.
Maybe you didn't wait long enough. The man doesn't move quite as quickly. Give him a break.
Scott.
We're just impatient youngsters. I never thought I would be called a youngster again in my life. But so
that's just an example of all the great things. You know, that's just one of the great things that happened this weekend. Getting people together like this, and just really, having some very interesting people speak. Got to really listen to some wonderful people talk about.
We didn't get to say also what Christine Amy spoke yesterday as well.
Yes, they did.
We didn't get to talk to them today because they were out doing other things. This was really well put together. Oh my gosh, what a wonderful array of speakers. The breaks in between the speakers. Wow. I mean, because I've been to conferences where it's back.
But you know what? When you're at a huge venue and you've got 1,000 or more people sitting in seats,
that's true. You can't
all say, okay, we have a 10-minute break.
And then everybody...
It's going to take more than 10 minutes to get them back in the seats,
I know.
But, I think there's a place for all different types. I attend other conferences.
Yes, we saw you at Ghost World 2 years
World.
Ago. Yeah.
Yeah, and it was amazing. It was great. It was a huge conference.
Yes.
It's just
and it was very well run.
Type of thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a different type of thing, and I think they're all great. You know, you still get a chance to hear what people have to say.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the most important part of what went on. Like I said before, communication.
Mm-hmm.
We have to keep communication going and share information.
Uh-huh. Do you know, related to that, I don't know what to think of this. You have a ghost hunting group.
Yes.
Really?
Michigan Ghost Hunters, right? Yep. Yet, for some reason...
You hear it here first on Ghostly.
Yes. For some...
Breaking news!
Cutting news. Yet you allowed other ghost hunting groups into your conference. I'm appalled. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, because, you know, Chris Bailey is the head of Grimstone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you are Michigan Ghost Watchers. Is this really ghost hunting groups getting along and talking?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is.
Wow.
I didn't think that happened.
I didn't think
that happened. I thought it was an urban legend.
I did. I thought I saw it on Snopes.
It can happen. I think the new television shows and all the new popularity of ghost hunting that has built up because of the media,
mm-hmm.
in one way it has been very helpful. It has opened maybe some of the audience's eyes, and they have seen regular working day people doing this
mm-hmm.
without looking really creepy and scary and being very dramatic and very mm-hmm. weird. And I think it has helped people who maybe even have something going on in their home or business think, wow, well, maybe it is safe to have these people come into my home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe they're not all really weird, you know.
Except for us.
Well, yeah, there are exceptions, of course.
Ghostly talking.
No, we're average.
Doug, get your feet up off the couch. Oh, I'm sorry.
But no. We're average, everyday people. There yes. are a lot yes. of people out there who do this and who do take it seriously.
Yes.
We're not all just a bunch of thrill seekers.
Right.
And some of us have expertise in different areas, and yes, we have all made mistakes
mm-hmm.
and will continue to make mistakes. It's a learning process.
Well, of course.
Yeah. Every one of us. Troy Taylor will tell you, and in fact, I think he makes a point to mention it at every single event he does, is there are no experts.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
There are yeah. none.
We've been preaching that message for years here on the show, too, that there are. And that's there one thing none. I tell people, if you're new to this field and somebody runs up to you and goes, well, I'm an expert at this thing, I tell them to run the other way as fast as they can mm-hmm. and get away from that person, because it's going to get you into nothing but trouble. Because when you, usually if someone has the vocal presence to put themselves in the say that they're an expert, they usually have the ego to go along with that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you can get in trouble. Not bad things can happen. That's the truth, you know. Nobody's an expert.
I saw your train of thought get lost, as a matter of fact.
It dissipated away from my head.
You went right out the store.
It went right out that window. I'm sorry.
It went into that creepy doll pan.
No, that's the point. I mean, there are no experts. I agree 100%.
Do we have a picture of the creepy doll?
I want to get a picture with the creepy doll before we leave here.
I think we have to. Yes, we have to. Tell me about the Straight Farmhouse and the Garden City Historical Museum, because obviously it's a place near and dear to you, because otherwise you wouldn't have picked it.
Yeah.
And I hear that you guys are kind of familiar with the ghosts hanging around here.
Yeah,
let's hear
a little bit about that.
We are. First of all, I found this place by accident.
Mm-hmm.
I was invited to a bridal shower. It was held in what they call the Grand Parlor, the banquet room we used this weekend. I showed up early. So I wandered into the little general store, and Mary Jane was there, whom you met earlier, mm-hmm. and she was one of the coolest people I ever met, and I knew it right off the bat. It was strange. How I knew it, though, was also strange, because everyone in this field is well aware there's a lot of prejudice out there. There are a lot of people that are freaked out by us and about what we do and about everything involved with this subject.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Well, I'm in this general store, right? So I'm making small talk with this nice lady, and I'm asking her about the history of Garden City and of the house, and she's telling me, and she says a couple of different sentences to me, and then all of a sudden, and we have a ghost. She offered it up.
Wow.
And she didn't know I was a ghost hunter. And I'm like, really? Tell
you
me more.
You were dressed for a bridal shower.
I never expected it was out of the blue.
Michigan Ghost Watcher gear on. So she's like, oh, we have a ghost.
Uh-huh. And she was very open about it,
awesome.
Which I immediately loved. So we started talking. We kept in communication. I joined the Historical Society, and I asked her if, by chance, we would get permission to come into the house one night and do an investigation here. She immediately said yes. We made the arrangements. And since then, that was 2 years ago, since then, we have investigated this place, I think, 4 or 5 times now.
Excellent.
And they welcome us with open arms, and it has become a really good relationship that we have with these folks, who are wonderful folks, who, like you said earlier, are all volunteers. They are not paid here. And so they love this place.
Yes.
They really love it. And for us to be allowed to come into this place... And sometimes they're not even with us the whole time.
Right.
They trust us. That feels really good because we've had a lot of people also say, no, you can't come into this cemetery, and no, we're not letting you into this building because they don't trust anybody like us.
Right.
They trust us. We trust them. It has become friendship. And we support each other. And when we decided to hold this event here, they were happy, and I knew it was a smaller venue. I knew it would not be a big, fabulous event, and that there would be a lot of limitations. But I wanted it here at least once because it is such a cool place.
Oh,
it
yeah.
is a truly haunted place. We've confirmed we believe to be 3 spirits here.
Mm-hmm.
They knew of one. We have not gotten any really good pictures. What we get here, for whatever reason, is EVP, which we have all of our investigations of this place, including the EVPs, on our website. And any ghost hunter knows that you get certain things at certain places and not others, and vice versa. You know, you don't know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
But we were able to get voices and different noises and all kinds of indications that match the history of the place very, very well. And do tell us that, yes, we have Ralph, who was the boy who passed away here, part of the Strait family, and at least 2 others.
Well, I have to say that that's absolutely incredible because I'd like to see more of this. I'd like to see more ghost hunting groups because there's a lot of ghost hunting groups.
Mm-hmm.
And I want more ghost hunting groups to find that local history, find that thing that makes their area just incredibly rich, because that's what we have. That's what we'll always have. When the stock market is down to 6,000 and 4,000, you will have your area's history still. Your family history, your area's history. You know, you're going to have that.
Mm-hmm.
And to get together with a, you know, such a magnificent piece of history, investigate it 4 or 5 times, get actual evidence out of the place, and get to know, you got to know the Strait family.
Kind of, yes.
You got to know at least Ralph
Ralph.
And you know, I mean, it's just incredible. And in an odd sort of way, it's he's been a host of this conference just as much as he's been not only a ghost, but a host of this conference as much as you and Michigan Ghost Watchers have.
Pretty
and
much.
So I have to thank Ralph too.
Thank you, Ralph.
So
we are butting right up against that. This show
this
is absolutely
flown by.
Yeah. It's I think we should do shows like this all the time.
I'm flabbergasted. Yeah. You're gonna be our new producer.
Yeah,
and you're just
gonna have a conference every weekend.
Yes,
the whole show
conference the weekend. I have to think. This is actually a really long list that I have to thank. Cindy Blake of Michigan Ghost Watchers. Wow, thank you so much. Thank you to you and Michigan Ghost Watchers.
Yeah.
Thank you to the Strait Farmhouse, Garden City Historical Museum.
Thanks to all of our guests we had.
For putting this on. And yes, Lon Keane, thank you to Bishop Greg Haggart. Thank you to Keith Norton, of course,
yes.
And Christopher Bailey of Grimstone, and Bill Konkoleski. Wow, that they made for quite a show, and this was an awesome weekend.
Yeah, it's been a great weekend, and thank you, Cindy, for showing us a great time.
I'm hoping for a Michigan Paranormal Conference 2009. And
yeah.
I'm,
what is that?
I
what
hope,
the, yeah,
yes.
It's a yes?
Yeah. After this? Yeah. We're all inspired.
I'm telling you.
And I'm not blowing my own horn. I just... the communication that happened. It was great.
It was greater than the sum of its parts.
I mean, I want to do more.
And you did a fantastic job with
the entire thing. Thank you so much.
I can't tell you how incredible this was.
It was not by any means close to being all me. This was my team that did this.
They did a fantastic job. You have to give, please give them a big pat on the back.
GhostWatchers.org. Check out. That's the website. Check all that out. Cindy, again, thank you.
And thank you, everybody, for listening to Ghostly Talk, because this was a special one. Our first live one. Let us know what you think.
Email Ghostly Talk. All of ours are live, but our first live on location.
This was a planned thing to go on location
and do a show without blowing something up. We used to have our anniversary parties at Bonnie's house where we were remote and stuff like that. So we've done it before.
But that was more a drunken mess than an actual show.
Yeah, that wasn't really a show.
I think it was our 2 year. We ran the levels way too hot, and the whole thing was horrible.
And thank you.
I think we pulled it off.
Let us know what you think of this.
Please, remote location.
GhostlyTalk@ghostlytalk.com.
Yeah, let us know. We're out of here, guys. I am Scott L.
And I'm Doug.
And I'm Bonnie.
Thanks everyone for listening.
Stepped all over each other. All right, we're out of here, guys. See you later.
Ghostly Talk. You have been listening to Ghostly Talk Paranormal Talk Radio. The Ghostly Talk audio program is distributed for free under the Open Content License. Please share with all your friends and support independent media.